Good morning. Are we good? Are we good? Good. I'll just wait for the herd to call a little bit. Get everybody back here. The last 2 months of my life have been just brutal, but last night I had a very interesting experience with God, who spoke to me, but not in a way I was expecting. And, you go through seasons of real deep silence from God, and that is painful. But we have an iRobot. You know what that is? It's like supposed to be a smart vacuum cleaner. And I can't tell you how many times under the armoire in our kitchen I've had to pull that thing out because it goes there, it gets stuck, and it can't get out. Last night, I was doing the dishes or whatever I was doing, and that stupid sucker went right underneath that armoire again. And so I reached down, and it's hard to get it out. It just keeps trying and trying, and I'm pulling the thing out. I pull it out, and it heads right back in there. I'm upset. Smart vacuum my foot. So I reach in again, and it does a pirouette, and it heads back underneath. Yeah. I pull it out third or fourth time, and I slide it across the room. Candace heard me yell, "You stupid thing." And it shut off, and it got instantly silent, and God spoke to me, and he says, "You're not much brighter." I love that vacuum now. I'm going to print a picture of my face off and pin it on the top. God has mercy, and he rescues us, and he rescues us, and he saves us, and he saves us, and he saves us. Is what warmed my heart was, one, God spoke to me clearly, and two, I heard the humor in his voice, and that was, lid lifted me. So I want to have a little bit of an extended conversation about obstetrics this morning. In my vast and almost immeasurable experience, and I want to focus on an expertise of mine, which is labor and delivery. Yeah, I did not talk to Nicole. I probably should have. You remember that, I don't know when, we talked about marriage, and I told you marriage is not really about marriage. And God uses those things to tell us about things that are so deep and profound, so it is with images in the Word of God about labor and delivery. And I'd like you to turn in your Bible to John, Gospel of John, chapter 16. And as I started preparing and thinking about how often the Bible uses the terms of reference for pregnancy, for labor, for delivery, I actually became overwhelmed at the preponderance of biblical reference to that idea. And like marriage, I realize God is not actually talking about the physical birth of a child. And I want you to have in your heart that as it is with a child coming into the world, you cannot have delivery without labor. You cannot. And it is this idea and notion that God would repeatedly bring home to us as he talks about new life, as he talks about a child, as he talks about labor and labor pains and travail and the cost of delivery is labor. And you cannot have delivery, you cannot have deliverance without labor. And if I get there at the end of the day, I would bring to your attention that in the world around us, the world is in the beginnings of what I believe to be profound labor pains. The awakening, the arousal of spiritual forces of darkness here and around the world are not to be trifled with, not to be ignored. Jesus told us, you watch and pray, you pay attention. You know, and we may read it if I ever get there. You know, the writers of the Word of God say the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Unexpected, sudden, like labor pains. And remind us, but you're not to be caught unaware. And I fear much of the church will be caught completely unaware. And what I want to invite you to do today is two things. One, if you have never heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and felt conviction for sin in your life, and have experienced what the Bible talks about, being born again, today is your day. Today is your day. When you hear the call of the Spirit of God come, experience new life, be born again. Find forgiveness for sins. Find hope for tomorrow, because tomorrow is not going to get easier. Receive the gift of the righteousness of Jesus. And the Bible talks about that as being born all over again. And for those that are born again, I invite you to welcome and embrace into your life the pains of labor. And we'll talk about what they are, what God is calling us to, and recognize that in all of the labor pains of life, in the grief and the sorrow and the adversity and the difficulty and those answerless days, weeks, and months that we face, it is a good God who is working in our hearts and in our lives. And we ought to submit to that and allow God by His Spirit to work in us through. And why would the Bible use labor pains? I'm not even going to joke about my vast experience with labor pains, but I watched a woman absolutely pretty sure I can get through this if she can get through that. Can do it, Eric. Push through, Eric. I watched Candace and many of you. Some of you have had great and amazing stories, and now I want to tell you ours. And I want to talk to you about those pains that we experienced. And the work of God. And my kids. Well, let's read. God help me. John chapter 16, let's begin at verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Father, I pray for help, please, to get through this. And I pray the Spirit of God would speak the word of truth, the word of the prophetic word. Prepare to labor. And that is the word I would speak to myself, to my family, to this church. Prepare to labor. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 10:30 Monday morning, was it the 21st of March, 1999, at Tim Hortons on the East Highway of Kenora, about 10:30, we were there, Bob and Pat were there. I had my double chocolate donut and coffee, and all of a sudden Candace looks at me and goes, "It's happening." And they weren't bringing fresh donuts out. Drew was coming. Monday morning at 10:30. And he was born. He was born Thursday morning. 4 days of excruciation. 4 days. Now, to be truthful, at the end of it, I was ready to kill the doctor. And, of course, Drew would have come earlier, but I wouldn't be there, so that's not a good idea. And it's just brutal. It's painful, not sleeping. And it was so hard on me, really. And the doctors, our doctor's in, he's a yo-yo. Thursday morning, I'm like desperate. My best friend's a surgeon, and I'm calling him, and I'm going like, "Paul, let me," he's two hours away. I'm going, "Let me drive her to you." And he goes, "You can't do that. Like, don't, because you could be in real trouble." And I said, "We are in trouble." And thank the Lord for Dr. Beveridge, who comes in about 9 Thursday morning, walks over to Candace, touches her belly, says, "The baby's transverse, he's never coming, and he's in trouble." Half an hour later, she's on the operating table, and I get to watch, because I play hockey with all these guys. So I'm in there, and they cut, right? Like, that's really, they pull my son out. And the joy, and it is worth it all, and more. And after all the adversity and grief in my poor, amazing, strong, resilient, tenacious wife, yeah, we have a boy. Fast forward about a year, year and a half, and Candy's pregnant again. And we lost. You know, it's happened to you, some of you. You lose a baby. But in the goodness of God, about a year after that, Candace is pregnant again. But about 2 months in, all of a sudden, she's bleeding. And you're crushed, and you go, "Oh God, not again." And some of you know what that's like, too. But that pregnancy, that pregnancy's right there. what I want, I have a purpose. I thought I could get through this okay, but I have a purpose in this. I want you to know, I want you to pay attention to something Jesus says in verse 20. And he says, you will weep, but the world. You've come to Christ and been born again by the Holy Spirit. There's just this total, complete, and absolute separation from the world. Here's your trajectory. The world's is that way, but you're not on it. This is yours. You're different. God sets you apart when you're born again, when the Spirit of God comes into you. You are irreversibly separated from the world. And that's called delivery. That's called deliverance. And in the Christian life, then becomes the labor. Because even though you're set apart from the world by giving your life to Christ, and the Spirit of God who descends and takes up residence in your life, you now embark on the process of extrication from the world, separation from the world. So in a sense, when a child comes, it's labor, then delivery. When you're born again, it's delivery and then labor. And it is a fight, unlike the child for whom the mother labors, God invites you and invites me as born again children of God to participate in the labors of abandoning this world and resisting sin and fighting sin and overcoming sin and overcoming the mind of the world that is so easily and deeply embedded within us. Your deliverance is the work of God, the sovereign, holy work of God by the Holy Spirit. You were dead and He woke you up. Now He invites you and He invites me. And I, the urgency that I feel in my voice, in my heart, because of the labor pains that are going on in the world, I cannot overemphasize the urgency of laboring in the Spirit. Of going through difficulty and adversity and allowing God to extricate you from the world. Separating yourself, separating myself from its evil and from its temptations and from its ways and its means and its values and its ideals and its goals, to live our lives fixed upon Jesus, our eyes fixed upon Christ. And no matter what happens in the world, we look at Jesus. We fix our eyes on Him. The cost of delivery is labor. I think about Paul in Philippians 1:29 when he says, "For to you it has been granted, gifted. For to you it has been gifted." Not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His sake. I was going to put a picture of my beautiful family up on the wall, but I'd probably just continually cry looking at it. Because I do want to tell you some of the stories of our life. The world is entering deep labor pains. I cannot tell you the stresses and the turmoil and the adversity and the spiritual battles that are coming in this world. I cannot tell you strongly enough. Be ready, be prepared, be equipped, be strong in the Lord and in the Holy Spirit. Stop messing with the world. Stop messing with sin. Stop messing with mediocrity. I cannot tell you, I cannot invite you and plead with you strongly enough. It will cost you. Either way, it's going to cost you. living a life of ease and familiarity and pleasure and pursuing your goals and pursuing your agendas and living your own life, that will cost you. Turning away from that life, turning away from yourself, from sin, from temptation, from self-determinism and self-lordship and having your own goals and agenda, abandoning that is going to cost you too. You cannot avoid living in this world without paying the price for deliverance. But it will be worth it all and infinitely more. In fact, there is no comparison. And I would speak for my wife in this and just give you her testimony that when she looked at and held Drew and looked at and held Emily, whatever the cost was, there's nothing in comparison to the joy. And I understand for some the difficulty and impossibility of having children and the deep, deep grief that it is in the heart. And my heart bleeds for you. And I have friends who are walking down that road, and it is very painful. But I do believe in my heart that God calls men and women to bear fruit in the kingdom, to go through labor and the delivery of the presence and working of the Spirit of God to usher in His glory through His church, through lives that are saved, lives that are changed, lives that are touched. And that is as powerful a labor as giving birth to a child. The pains, of course, of growing and living, at least for our kids, and I want to talk about them for a minute, didn't end after delivery. And what I'm reminded about are the lengths to which God will go to bring us into labor pains. God never will miss an opportunity to produce in us labor pains that bear fruit. And some of you might be shocked at the lengths to which God will go, what He will allow you to go through to experience the pains of labor in the deliverance that He's bringing. And that narrative is completely missing from contemporary Christianity. It's just gone. I know some of Beth's story, and I could tell some of it, but I don't know it well enough to tell the story. But I do know Drew's story and Emily's, and I want to share some of the ways God's life showed up. I had a picture when Drew was about 12, 13, and Emily was 10 or 11. And it was absolutely one of the most brutal seasons of our whole life. And I watched Drew as his journey, adventure, began one Friday night, Saturday night. He was playing hockey and he got nailed from behind, smoked into the boards. And his head was okay for about an hour. And all of a sudden he couldn't talk anymore. And came home and he's sitting on the bed, completely lost. Doesn't know where he is, doesn't know who he is, hardly knows who we are, can't speak. And you watch your child suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And I watched Drew as a 12, 13-year-old completely having to re-understand what life was about, if life was real. You know the movie The Matrix? He's living it. It is brutal. Having to wrestle with God, his eyesight probably forever changed. His perception of the world completely obliterated. What's reality? And watch your kid fighting to know what's true and what's real and what's not real, missing school weeks on end. Now watch him in grade 8 and 9 go through what's nothing short of moral torment by what's going on in middle school and early high school and the things that kids have to live with. It's not a great thing to find your 13-year-old sitting on the sofa at 3:30 and 4 in the morning weeping, broken, terrorized, terrified, not coping with life. And you pray and you laid hands on them and you call Nana and Papa and get over here and pray. And watch him wrestle. Who's God? Why? Why me? What's happening? Who am I? And the most heart-wrenching question when he looks at you and says, do you love me or do you just say that you love me? And then we watch our little girl, Emily Joy, to this day, Emily's never had a devoted, faithful, all-in friend in her life. Never. I watched her through elementary school and middle school, rejected, cast out, ignored. In hindsight, it's like a little girl going to school with a den of vipers. And I don't mean that to be cruel, it's what it is. And I'm watching Emily as a 4 and 5 and 6-year-old girl every night. I tell her, we need to pray for this person, we need to pray for this, we need to. And Emily Knight on her own, just praying, 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 praying. Your child, when they're lonely and can't see, it's the most painful thing in the world. And I want to go knock on some little girls' heads. Look at her. She's awesome. But I also recognize, and I need to say, that God was extricating Drew and Emily from this world. And what I want you to understand is kids don't just turn out. It's not random. It's not inexplicable. And I will tell you that it hurts. In my heart, in Candy's heart, our hearts break for our children and have broken for our children year after year, month after month. But I recognize as I look back in Drew's life and I look back at Emily's life and I don't really want to look at them. Because it's not really my fault that they're jewels. It's not. And I'm telling you this story that the labor pains in bringing a child into the world don't end when the child is born. God has a calling and a plan, and that plan and that calling and that pathway will lead through trouble and difficulty and adversity and pain, and you can't escape it. In this world, it talks about religion. It's free and easy and come as you are and worship and enjoy the atmosphere and the ambiance. It is a lie from the pit of hell. It is leading people into a weak and anemic faith in Jesus. It is not creating in people this tenacious strength that only God, by His gracious gift of suffering, can produce in a life. Those are the labor pains for which Jesus will stand up for you in eternity and say, "That's my child." And those are the labor pains that produce endurance. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. And let's read some of this, and then we'll close with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. See to it, Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 4. See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, "I am the Christ," and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away from the faith and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise. Welcome to our world. And will mislead many because of lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Why does God make you suffer? You know, I was really, really proud of myself. I was, 43, 44. Not that long ago, actually, when you think about it. Thank you. And one March, so Manitoba Marathon's in June, okay, this is March. And my little brother, Rob, calls me and says, "I'm running the Manitoba Marathon." I said, "Well, you don't run." He goes, "Shut up, you don't run either." He says, "I'm doing it. I don't care what you say." This is the end of March. Never run in his life. He was an athlete, but he never ran. And he ran the marathon in 3 hours and 20 minutes. And he said, "You are not outdoing me, buddy." And he said, "I'm running with you next year." And he goes, "You're too fat." I said, "No, I'm starting running today." And that first day, I ran all the way around the block. That first day, I almost ran all the way around the block. And then the second day, and I ran for 90 days, and at the end of 90 days, 35 pounds, I could do 10K in 42 minutes. And then it was 15K, and then it was 18K. But what I want you to know is that the suffering and the grief and the adversity and the difficulty of life, God designs for you to endure. He means for you not only to survive, but to thrive by the power and the glory of the Spirit who dwells within us. And that process of becoming less of me and more of Him is a very painful process. It is a difficult process. The world is not going to become an easier place to live, and it is going to become an increasingly more difficult place to live as someone who follows Jesus. You need endurance. Allow God to do what God needs to do in you. You may be shocked at the lengths to which God will go to make you like Christ. But have in your heart that God is a good God. He is powerful. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is wise. He knows the path and the plan and the journey that He has for you. And I have to say again here as I close that if you have not given your life to Christ, you need to be born again. You can't imitate religion. You can't imitate the life of this church. You can be part of this family. You can come to our events. You can come to worship. You can be here, but you cannot enter the family of God without being born into it by the Holy Spirit. And then let me tell you, that's where the cost begins. And if you're here this morning and you need to give your life to Christ, we will give you a chance at the end. Brad will invite you to come and we want to pray with you. The band can come. Let's stand together. I want to worship. Would you bow with me as we pray and just allow me to speak to your heart? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. I remember the words of Jesus, who tells us and told us to count the cost. And I have something to say to those of you that are, you've been under the gun in your life. And it's been very, very difficult and painful. And what I want to encourage you with is God is paying attention to you. As I have watched God pay attention to Drew and pay attention to Emily, and as I know God has paid attention to Beth, sometimes it feels like that attention is unwanted. And it hurts sometimes when God pays attention to you. But if the Holy Spirit of God, first of all, is calling you to come and follow Christ and be born again, you need to respond this morning. Just come. You come alone, your wife, your family, just come. Come out. When Brad invites you, you come. We want to pray with you. And you're here and you need to make a fresh declaration in your heart that you will follow at all cost. What God's doing in your life, you will follow at all cost. And allow God to do in your life what He wants to do, to make you like Jesus, to free us from sin, and to give us endurance for the life to come. So Lord, I pray that your Spirit would draw people. We prayed this morning, I prayed that salvation would come to this place today, that there would be people who would give their life to Jesus, say, I will follow Jesus at all cost. And I pray you'd call and do that. And maybe there's someone who needs encouragement, needs a word, needs prayer. It's just difficult, Lord. I pray that you would be calling people throughout this place to stand up and fight, to stand up and clothe themselves with the armor of God, to fight sin, to fight temptation, to walk with Jesus, whatever the cost, so that they too, like Candace, like Drew, like Emily, Beth, would be beautiful jewels in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.